What's going on, everyone? This is the Fantasy Playbook Podcast. My name is Kyle Yates, and I'm your host. I can be found on Twitter at KyleYNFL. I am joined today by the man, the myth, the legend, Ian Harditz of Pro Football Focus. He can be found on Twitter at iHarditz. Ian, we were talking before we started recording, man. It has been a long time coming for you and I to get on a podcast together. I'm looking forward to this one.
Damn right, Kyle. Great to be here. Appreciate you having me on, man. True grinder of the industry, I believe you are. I like to think I'm up there too. So, you know, always good to talk ball with someone else that, you know, really does look at this stuff 365 days a year. But man, oh man, August 22nd, almost time for some real football being played. I'm not here to slander preseason. I enjoy it. I'll take any football. I watched all the USFL, like, believe me. But
right,
my goodness, man, if you find yourself not touching enough grass and just getting so much on some of this Twitter overreaction from one preseason quarter to the next one, man, it really is too much sometimes.
I know there's a lot going on the Twitter sphere today. It's probably one of those things, probably best to just stay away, just continue to focus in on your process. Don't let a ton sway you here as we move throughout week two of the NFL preseason, now behind us, moving into week three. Man, we are getting very, very close here to the start of the NFL regular season. All right, let's waste no time. Let's get into some news items here today brought to you by Sleeper. Download the Sleeper app to get that competitive advantage for all the latest breaking news over your league mates. Download the Sleeper app here in the YouTube description or in your show notes over on podcast. Let's run through a few of these that happened over the weekend. Michael Gallup was seen running routes at practice on Thursday. Does not sound like he's going to be out there week one or week two potentially, but we could be nearing a return there for Michael Gallup, and this Dallas Cowboys wide receiver core desperately needs him on the field. The Ravens signed DeMarcus Robinson after he was released by the Kansas City Chiefs, or no, I'm sorry, by the Las Vegas Raiders. The Athletic reports that there is, quote, optimism. Miles Sanders will be ready for week one. That is not exactly what you want to hear for a player dealing with a hamstring injury and for a player who we already had questions about in fantasy. So Miles Sanders just continues to tick down the rankings there. Might be out there week one. Might not be on my fantasy rosters here this year. Tyquan Thornton suffered a collarbone injury and is expected to miss 8 to 10 weeks here. Ian, this is something where Tyquan Thornton started to make some splash plays here for the New England Patriots at the wide receiver position. He was starting to have himself a pretty solid training camp in preseason here. Does this completely just move him off the draft board for you?
Yeah, even then, he was still such a late round pick, because the problem with some of those plays, and this, if there is one thing to take away from preseason, I do agree it's the first team usage, and he was doing a lot of that, you know, with the straight up backup. So for me, like, Nelson Agholor should just be thanking his lucky stars, because now they're going to need to have him around a little bit in the season. I've consistently been going after Parker and Jacoby, though, if anyone.
All right. Brian Robinson appears to have taken over the RB1 role here for the Washington Commanders. At least that's what it's appearing like based on the usage here in week two of the NFL preseason. We saw Antonio Gibson out there as the kick returner on the opening drive, and then Brian Robinson got the first carry for this team. Ian, what do we do with this backfield here in Washington? Is Antonio Gibson just completely untouchable at his current ADP, and Brian Robinson definitely needs to move up the board?
I was hoping you'd tell me, Kyle. Man, I sent a poll Saturday morning because the Damian Pierce hype was going crazy. This was before Gibson even played, and I just asked, who'd you rather draft? And 73%, like, out of 8,000 votes, said Damian Pierce over Antonio Gibson before the rest of this happened. So at this point, man, Gibson's probably going to be like a low-end RB3, like right there next to Brian Robinson. It is absolutely wild how far we've come. I would just keep in mind, you know, we have these dead zone running backs. They're dead zone running backs because of where they're going in the draft. Antonio Gibson in round 12 versus round 5, two very different things. It sucks that we've reached this point. But that said, man, Antonio Gibson's one injury away from being back to where we thought he was. Again, it's sad that we even have to be going there at this point, but don't completely give up on the guy just yet. But he's going to be impossible to touch before, you know, the top 50 or so wide receivers are off the board.
That's really kind of where I'm at, where Antonio Gibson just continues to move down that draft board, man, as we get more and more news here. Brian Robinson definitely needs to be a target for you in the later rounds. Matt Corral suffered what is likely a Lisfranc injury and is expected to miss the entire year. Most likely was not going to see any playing time here in Carolina this year with Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold above him on the depth chart. But this is unfortunate for the rookie quarterback. Christian Watson, the wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers, has been cleared to participate in team drills. We could see him back on the field here very, very soon. Saints coach Dennis Allen says that Michael Thomas is dealing with, quote, a little bit of a hamstring injury. Ian, man, we just started, like, literally last podcast that I recorded, I think I had a blurb that said Michael Thomas should be ready to go for week one. now we get this here. Is this a little bit concerning here for Michael Thomas going into the year?
It sucks because our whole industry wasn't adjusting enough to him being in training camp and like really looking good, being fully healthy, and to have this action. And I think Dennis Allen even said this is like a new hamstring issue. Right. This is not something that's been lingering, which is way worse. It really sucks, Kyle. We'll see that the thing with these preseason injuries, and this does seem like the fact that it had to be addressed in a press conference. I mean, if it was nothing, I'm sure he would have said nothing about it. I do wonder if it's a 1 to 2 day injury instead of a 1 to 2 week or a month. We don't know enough about it at this moment in time, I think, to make any sweeping judgments on it. It's like Hayden Wicks and I were joking last week. We need to like map out exactly like how far every practice field is from the locker room, because we hear about guys getting carted off, and I know. Well, like, I don't know. Even if the guy's only banged up a little bit, maybe just use the cart just in case. Right. Like, is there really that much to lose there? But Michael Thomas is someone I bumped inside my top 20 once we kind of got news of him off the pup and looking good. I was loving him in round 5 or 6, where a lot of those wide receivers are questionable anyway. If anything, now it'd be like a tiebreaker for me, Michael Thomas versus like a Kyler, Jalen Hurts at that point in the draft. I'll probably take the guy that we're just a little bit more confident is healthy.
For me, I'm going to agree with you there. It puts an asterisk next to his name on the draft board, right? It's something where I'm concerned here, but I'm not making any, you know, rash judgments here and moving him down the rankings until we get a little bit more clarity here as we get a little bit further down, you know, this week. All right, is he practicing? Is he returning to practice? Is it light practice? Stuff like that. We'll keep you updated here. Tom Brady was back at the Bucs facility on Monday, done with his performance on The Masked Singer, apparently. And Logan Thomas was activated off of the PUP list for the Washington Commanders. All right. Again, thank you so much to Sleeper for presenting the latest news segment here. Download the Sleeper app to stay on top of all the latest breaking news in the NFL. All right. Let's talk about the pristine auction giveaway here going on for the month of August. A Dak Prescott signed Cowboys jersey. To enter into this giveaway, go over to the ffplaybook.com/giveaway for all the details. You go over to pristineauction.com/register. You create your free account. You get $10 towards your first order when you sign up with the code playbook at sign up there at register. And then you go over to the ffplaybook.com/giveaway and fill out the short form there, and you are automatically entered to get into this Dak Prescott signed Cowboys jersey giveaway, again presented by Pristine Auction. Also, if you want to, if you're listening to this over on the podcast, you can watch this podcast over on YouTube. You can see Ian's face here, you can see mine, you can see all the graphics here going along with it. youtube.com/thefantasyplaybook. If you're watching, hit that like button, hit the subscribe button as well. Helps out in a major way. All right, Ian, let's have some fun here. I thought about this. I was like, we could talk about the all sleeper team here this year. We could, you know, just go back and forth, right? Who is your favorite sleeper? Stuff like that. Let's have a little fun here. We're fantasy football analysts. Let's have some fun here with a fantasy football draft. So what we're going to do here is we're looking at the Fantasy Pros ADP consensus. We're looking at players going outside of the top 11 rounds in ADP. And what we are doing is we've each built draft boards here, and we are going to draft our all sleeper teams. All right, we're going to go head to head here. We got a quarterback, 2 running back, 2 wide receivers, and a tight end. It's going to be a ton of fun because I have absolutely no idea who you like as sleepers this year. You have no idea who I like. We've got each separate draft boards here, so this is going to be a ton of fun. I think there's going to be a lot of sniping here. We'll see how it goes. So, Ian, you are the guest here. Do you want the 101 selection, or do you want the 102 and that turn there at the 201?
I'll take the 101, and also just shout out for picking an appropriate ADP. Nothing tilts me more than like these 5th or 6th round sleepers.
And it's the
5th or 6th round sleeper, the guy with like, you know, like, can we throw in the Michael Pittman breakout? He had over 1,000 yards even before week 18 last season. So just, you know, keep that in mind. Kyle, good job by you.
All right. We're going outside the 11 rounds here. Looking at some sleepers here and drafting our all sleeper teams. All right, Ian, you have the 101 selection. You are now on the clock. A lot of strategy here. You got the quarterback. You got 2 running back spots. It's a lot of strategy here as you go throughout it. Where are you going here with that 101 selection?
I'm getting my guy who I've been answering, who is the one player I consistently find myself leaving drafts of all shapes and sizes with, and that is Detroit Lions hard knock star running back Jamal Williams. I'm surprised the ADP still isn't going up, man. It has been months now of him just consistently going outside the top 50 running backs. And I just think Jamal Williams in round 15, you could argue has the same role, if not better, than a lot of the Rashad White, Isaiah Spiller type talents going several rounds earlier in the draft. So with Jamal Williams, we've seen it throughout the preseason. We saw it last year when him and Swift were healthy. It's going to be about 60-40 split in Swift's direction. Swift's going to have the fantasy-friendly targets. But Jamal Williams, I think, if we're trying to look for this year's version of James Conner, you know, the theoretical three-down running back who more of a touchdown-dependent running back when everything is right, but just one injury away potentially from having that takeover role. I know last year he had a chance and he didn't exactly blow up, but let's remember, bad Lions offense, particularly, you know, with Tim Boyle and stuff starting the second half of the year, a lot of people are expecting them to improve. And even in those games, Jamal Williams was playing through several injuries in his own right. He came back from COVID at the end of last year, and he still managed to have 20, 18, 19 touches. We didn't really care because he didn't find the end zone. So with Jamal Williams, we saw a couple years ago, man, when Aaron Jones missed time, like he really can be a three-down running back. They only signed Justin Jackson, who I don't think is a scrub by any stretch, but I'm confident that we're going to have the same system working as last year. I think Jamal Williams is the single cheapest flex with benefits, if you will, out there at running back.
Do you think you're one of the best at fantasy football? It's time to challenge yourself this year by going over to Dynasty Owner. Dynasty Owner is the new way to play fantasy football with real NFL salaries, adding the strategy of running an actual franchise. Dynasty Owner provides a unique and challenging experience that will test your skills as an owner and general manager. You will have complete control over your team's future. You can build through the draft, make trades, sign free agents, and manage your team's salary cap. Can you create a dynasty of champions? Sign up now at dynastyowner.com and get started on building your dynasty. Use promo code PLAYBOOK for $10 off of your next team. Again, that's promo code PLAYBOOK for $10 off of your next team at dynastyowner.com. I think he's being completely overlooked this year. And even by myself, like as we moved a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, I had someone mention Jamal Williams' name and I was like, man, I just have not thought about Williams at all. But as you look back at the splits from last year, you're absolutely right. He was seeing a ton of time when they both were healthy, right? Williams dealt with a lot of injuries last year, which kept him off the field and limited his playing time. But when they were both healthy, Jamal Williams was seeing plenty of work. And right now, just an absolute steal at his current ADP, someone that could move into the flex conversation week in and week out, but does have the upside too if DeAndre Swift, who has also dealt with his own injuries, misses time yet again. So Jamal Williams off the board there. He was on my draft board, goes off the board at the 101. All right, I am now up at the 1-2. Got back-to-back picks here. I'm going to take advantage of the little bit. This ADP is going to rise. But right now, he is at 140 overall in ADP consensus. We talked about this situation here in Washington. Let's get Brian Robinson off the board here. Again, feel like this is kind of cheating with where his ADP will end up here within a week as we now know the situation and how it's playing out here in Washington. But Brian Robinson is a very talented running back. I really enjoyed his tape coming out of Alabama. Did not get his chance to really shine until this last year, playing behind some really, really solid prospects coming out of Alabama in the past. Robinson stayed, got his opportunity this past year, and proved that he can be an NFL running back. He can be a three-down NFL running back. Now, they're not going to utilize him as that. They've got JD McKissick. They've got Antonio Gibson. So is Brian Robinson going to be a top 24 running back and when all these guys are healthy? Most likely not. But at his current ADP of 140 overall, you're looking at guys who, I mean, just give them an opportunity, right? That's, you're looking for opportunity in those later rounds, and Brian Robinson is certainly going to have that this year, it appears. So Robinson off the board there at the 101. All right, here's where the strategy comes into play now, though, because at the 201, I could fill out the running back spot. There are some other names that I think I can wait on and get some value there. Looking at wide receiver, though, there are some very, very interesting names there. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to lock up that running back position here. Do I think that Isaiah Pacheco is going to get the majority of the touches this year in Kansas City? No, I do not. However, you can't ignore the hype. You can't ignore the buzz. You can't ignore the usage here in the first 2 weeks of the preseason. He's getting onto the field with the starters, and that's, you know, that's noteworthy here. So I'm going to take Isaiah Pacheco here just for the swing for the fences pick here for that upside. He's someone that at his current ADP, 15th, 13th, 14th, 15th round of drafts right now, you can just take the shot on him, swing for the fences there. And if it works, great. You got a, you know, running back in the Kansas City Chiefs offense. If it doesn't work, you can easily cut him, move on for that hot week one waiver wire ad. I'll swing for the fences here, though, with Isaiah Pacheco. So Brian Robinson here for me, Isaiah Pacheco, my first two picks. You've got Jamal Williams at that running back spot. You are now up with back-to-back selections.
Real quick, man, like Pacheco is going to set us back so many years of people now just going all in on these day three size speed like prospects. This him and Damian Pierce, they might work out, man. We have seen the usage, like it's there. I'm not completely ignoring Pacheco, but it's again, since over the last 10 years, Alfred Morris, Zach Stacy, Jordan Howard, Phillip Lindsay, James Robinson, those are the five running backs that have finished top 24 as a rookie and not been a top three round draft picks. So like that was the wild thing to me. Like, who's gonna be this year's James Robinson? Who's gonna be this decade's James Robinson?
Right.
And maybe it's gonna be Isaiah Pacheco, man. So he has a chance to do it. I really have a bad feeling people are going to get more and more willing to take chances on these day three guys.
And I'll say this too really quick. Like the ADP has to stay in this range. If Pacheco moves up into the 10th round, 9th round, we've gone way too far with this. But at this current price tag, I'll buy in. I'll take the shot. All right, back up with those back-to-back selections.
All right, I'm going wide receiver Rondale Moore, Cardinals starting slot. Yeah, when DeAndre Hopkins comes back, maybe there is a chance that we see him on one side, freaking AJ Green, Antoine Weston on the other side again, and they put Marquise Brown in the slot. But man, when we have Rondale going, let's see, you know, mid-50s, I'm assuming. Yeah, wide receiver 56, 146 player overall. Like, okay, we still have at least six games as the featured guy. And if you've listened to Cliff Kingsbury at any point this offseason, before the Marquise Brown trade, after August, March, one good thing after another about Rondale Moore, consistently saying that the Christian Kirk slot role is now going to be Rondale. So that's a big thing for me, man. Like, Cliff, I don't think he's sharp, and we like to make fun of him a lot of times for that. But he was honest last year. Like, he told us after the draft that, you know, we got AJ, we got DeAndre, and Rondale slides in with the other group. I think we're all too flabbergasted to think about AJ Green getting the nod over Rondale Moore to actually take it, for truth. But hey, it was, and now Cliff is telling us that Rondale is going to be out there. If you looked at, I mean, remember when Hopkins got hurt, people really weren't happy with what he was doing in the first part of the season. Not because he was bad, but because Kyler was just spreading the ball all the way around. You know, you looked at like the number one target versus number five target. There was only like a 10 target discrepancy. So Rondale Moore, I think, is the most natural guy to take over Christian Kirk's slot role. And I think he's the most natural guy to take a lot of those design touches that Chase Edmonds was getting as the primary pass down back. So anytime, you know, the Deebo Samuel role, it's throwing us off a little bit. We don't want wide receivers to get carries in place of targets. Targets are always going to be more fantasy friendly and full PPR scoring. When Deebo's the most efficient running back in the entire league, you know, you're kind of okay with either, but we can't exactly bank on that. In Rondale's case, man, I just think that he could have that 100 target, 20 carry upside, almost like a, you know, like a shiftier, less polished Robert Woods, if you will, what we kind of saw with the Rams over the years. So love Rondale Moore at cost. I'll get another wide receiver because I know you're done taking running back, so I'll take advantage of that. I'm going to go with a lot of good ones here. Jahan Dotson, Washington Commanders. Like, look, he's been blowing up the training camp and preseason, seeing it for good reasons. The guy looks like a complete stud out there. And, you know, after going back and just looking at his prospect profile, I'm sure you can speak on this. You do a lot of great stuff before the draft every year. But this idea that he was like just more of like going to be restricted to the slot, I think that's just lazy analysis from people that just kind of, you know, they see under 6 feet and they're like, oh, he must be a slot guy. But man, seeing what he's done to my Buckeyes a few times over the years, no, this dude can go up and get it, man. Made Sean Wade look probably pushed that Sean Wade draft round down a couple rounds, him and Cornell Powell out there. But with Dotson, it just never made sense to me, man, to see him going rounds behind the other first round picks. Like, we have this weird phenomenon where Dotson, someone that people liked, I think he was a consensus top seven, top eight receiver, but very few expected him to go 16th overall. And when he did, it became a reach. It became a bad pick instead of like a, whoa, Washington thinks this guy's the 16th overall player in the draft. So I get some Jalen Waddle vibes here from last year. Not necessarily that he's going to have the same target hog season. I understand Terry McLaurin's there, but with Jahan Dotson, it's still a first-round wide receiver. And, yeah, his quarterback situation isn't the best. Neither is every other first-round wide receiver that got drafted. And I do think that Carson Wentz, you know, maybe more on him in a little bit, spoiler. But I do think Wentz, you know, we have a lot of trouble just admitting that a quarterback's like a top 20 or a top 25 quarterback. If they're not top 10 or 12, they just suck. So
yeah,
I think in this offense, yeah, Terry's going to be the one, but Dotson has a real good chance of being the two. And I've done studies throughout the offseason just about the cheapest wide receivers with the potential to get triple-digit targets, and you consistently see Dotson's name popping up there. So again, it just comes down to like, hey, I think you and me are smart, Kyle, but when I see Jahan Dotson going wide receiver 69,
yep,
like just say, hey, NFL, you know, I'll throw a flyer at the guy that you said is the 16th best player in this draft.
196 overall for Jahan Dotson in ADP consensus. 194, Taysom Hill.
I see kickers going ahead. Yep, of this kickers man. Come
are
on.
Going ahead of Jahan Dotson Come currently on. In ADP consensus, which is baffling. So yes, Rondale Moore, Jahan Dotson, we're both on my draft board here. Love those selections, man. You took away two really good options for me. Rondale Moore, I think just the value point for him currently in drafts. How is he not going to return value? And I think this is the difference. And I've talked about this. This is the difference of expectations last year, where the first two games, Rondale Moore came out on fire, right? We thought that Rondale Moore was going to be a league winner, and then the playing time disappeared. He fell off an absolute cliff. I don't know if you were getting these, but in like week five, week six, I was still getting questions of, should I be playing Rondale Moore in the flex this week? I was like, no, we shouldn't. He's just not seeing the snaps, right? This year, that opportunity is there with Christian Kirk out of town. And Cliff Kingsbury, you're absolutely correct, has done nothing but talk up Moore this offseason. So I think that he... even if we get 6 weeks of production, he's going two spots behind Kenny Golladay, for goodness sake, right? Like, Rondale Moore can't do anything but return value on that and then ship him off. If you don't believe that he's going to hold on to that throughout the entire year, week five, ship him off. Ship him off for, a lot more return on value than where you drafted him. And the Jahan Dotson, I mean, just an incredibly talented player. The volume concerns for an offense that's going to run the ball heavily, but I think he is going to be the wide receiver too in this offense. Absolutely love the call there with Jahan Dotson, a deep sleeper this year at that current ADP. All right, you talked about the strategy there. You went with the wide receivers because I filled out both the running back spots. Now I'm kind of playing some strategy here because the wide receivers are filled out for you as well. So I can now go and either quarterback, tight end here. I'm going to split it, man. I'm going to go Justin Fields here at the quarterback position, just outside of the threshold of what we're looking at here. Fields, I think this offense in Chicago, man, I'm a Bears fan. This offense is going to be rough to watch some weeks there. That offensive line is going to get Justin Fields in a lot of trouble this year, but the mobility is 100% there. The scheme that Luke Getsy is bringing in, I think, is much more catered to his strengths this year. We saw that even in the preseason game, a lot of play action boot, getting him on the move. I think we're going to see that a lot this year, and that's going to translate to that rushing production. It's a cheat code. We know that for fantasy football. So Justin Fields, filling out that quarterback spot for me in the all sleeper team. And then do I want to take the shot on tight end here, or do I want to get one of these wide receivers? You know what? I'm just going to go with tight end here because I'm going to wait on the wide receivers for the final two spots. Now it's a matter of which tight end. There's some good choices here. Irv Smith is still here. David Njoku. I could go even further down the board. Hayden Hurst is there. Jonnu Smith. Yeah. Like some of these guys that could really make an impact this year. I'm going to go with David Njoku. We know now the situation finally with Deshaun Watson. We know how long Watson is going to be out this year. I think David Njoku, even with Jacoby Brissett or Jimmy Garoppolo, whichever way that they go, David Njoku is going to see plenty of targets in this offense. He's going to be fine. Now, is that going to lead to 6+ receiving touchdowns when it's Jacoby Brissett? Probably not. But you do have the safe floor from a target share perspective there with David Njoku this year. And then the upside when Watson does return. And if Watson performs the way that we've seen Watson, you know, perform at the quarterback position in years past, then, man, we have plenty of upside there with David Njoku. So I think you're going to be able to get by with Njoku at his current ADP, which is like tight end 17 off the board. And then you have the upside there for him to absolutely smash when Watson comes back and elevates this offense, hopefully. All right, so that is Justin Fields at the quarterback position for me, then Brian Robinson, Isaiah Pacheco, and then David Njoku at the tight end position. Ian, you've got Jamal Williams at running back, then Rondale Moore and Jahan Dotson. You got a quarterback left, a running back spot left, and a tight end. You got back-to-back picks. Where are we going?
Fields is just the ultimate sleeper this year. I mean, we don't see quarterbacks with this sort of rushing volume bust, man. Like 11 of 12 with 125 carries, top 12 QBs per game. not just rewarding the guys for playing 17 games, like per game, 11 out of 12 with that many, which we're easily projecting Fields for, should get there. And like, yeah, the offense is terrible. It was last year, and he ripped off four top 10 finishes in his final four starts. So love that call with Fields. I'm going to take kind of the poor man's Justin Fields. You know, we have our top tier, the Josh Allens, the Hurts, the Kylers, and we go down to Trey Lance, who still way too cheap, by the way. Then Justin Fields. And if we really want to get gross, ladies and mostly gentlemen, Daniel Jones. Why the hell not? Let's get let's get the next bad real life quarterback that inexplicably returns some actually pretty good fantasy results. And to be fair, we have seen that Daniel Jones last night on the broadcast had one of those hilarious, you know, cherry pick stat graphics showing, you know, the first 30 games of Daniel Jones's career versus the first 30 games of Josh Allen's career. And you know what? Some of those were a lot closer, I think, than people would give credit for. I mean, Daniel Jones, as a rookie, we did see flash a fantasy ceiling. We are both old enough to remember that, Kyle, that stat the whole offseason. It was like only Lamar Jackson had more 30-point fantasy games than Daniel Jones. And it's funny looking back on, but we started to see him, at least before he got, you know, badly concussed against the Cowboys last year, do some good things. QB12, QB4. QB24 and then QB7 finishes in the first four games. But again, it's more about just his player archetype. You know, Lamar Jackson, Kyler, Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, Cam Newton, Deshaun Watson, and Daniel Jones, the only quarterbacks to average more than 25 rushing yards per game over the past three seasons. So if we can get Brian Daboll working his magic, just making life easy, you know, flip the freaking ball 6 inches to Kadarius Toney or freaking Wandale Robinson. Like, it doesn't need to be that hard. Plus, I think one of the more under-the-radar free agent signings is like them bringing in Tyrod Taylor to be the backup quarterback. Because I think a lot of times you just want your backup to be someone that can pick up the scheme and hopefully win half your games while the guy's out. Daniel Jones is last year here. I can see Brian Daboll, man, just doing what's best for this offense. And let's face it, quarterback runs are incredibly efficient. The problem is your guy going to get hurt? Well, Daniel Jones isn't going to be here next year. So I really think that we could just see him try to get the most out of Jones, do what Jones does best. And inexplicably, what Daniel Jones does best is run the football. So low-key got some nice weapons around him. We'll see about the offensive line. It's not a slam dunk by any stretch of the imagination. But when I look at these guys, man, this late, like, Fields were definitely where I draw the line. Like, my God, none of these other guys do I ever want to even think about, like, starting in a meaningful game. But after him, guys like Tua, Zach Wilson, Tannehill, I just don't think they have the same ceiling as Daniel Jones. So I would almost argue just go with Deshaun Watson if you're going that late, because you should not be taking your first quarterback in this group as it is. Right. So I do wonder, man, like, you get into some of these drafts because some people just refuse to take Deshaun Watson. If that's your stance on the whole thing, you know, good for you. That's fine. I'm not going to argue with that. But if you can get Fields late, like round 13, 14, then just grab Watson at the end. Maybe you're in a league with an IR spot for a suspended player. That's your, I think, most possible upside you can get at this point. So go ahead and give me Daniel Jones. And then, let's see, I will take running back Khalil Herbert. This is, we were talking about the cart earlier, Kyle. Khalil Herbert's fine. Got carted off practice. He's apparently fine. And we've seen three backup running backs really boost their stock, in my opinion, so far in the preseason. Khalil Herbert, Alexander Mattison, and Naeem Hines. At least in the first week, I still got to go back and run all the week two stuff. But they got 100% of the snaps with their team starting offense. And in Herbert and Madison's case, we saw that last year, but they had new coaching staff. So I just wasn't for sure if we were going to see that same sort of just every down, three down handcuff usage. Well, we got it, so we can adjust. And unlike Madison, I think Herbert actually has a chance to carve out, you know, probably not actual standalone value, you know, behind David Montgomery, but at least something maybe a little bit closer to Jamal Williams and what we were talking about with him earlier. So Khalil Herbert really going cheap, you know, right there around Jamal Williams. I do think just pure handcuff upside, he's worthy at that price and also could give you a bit more. And then just quick on the last guy, man, Naeem Hines. Like, we saw it earlier in his career when Marlon Mack got hurt. It wasn't the Naeem Hines show. It was Jordan Wilkins and also Naeem Hines, but his role wasn't really changing. So the fact they really gave Hines that every down role with the starters behind Jonathan Taylor, like, I always thought that Hines, if Taylor got hurt, it'd be tough for him to be more than even like a borderline RB2 still. All of a sudden, man, all these quotes throughout the offseason about getting him more involved in the pass catcher. If you add that handcuff upside, like, now we're not talking about J.D. McKissick. We're talking about, I don't know, like a middle-class man's Kareem Hunt or something. Right. Like, we can do a lot with this.
Yep. No, so Khalil Herbert, this is an oversight on my part. I've been spending all offseason hyping up Khalil Herbert, and when I did the preparation for this podcast, it was in Khalil Herbert was carted off, it was in that period where we didn't know. We were like, all right, he was carted off. So I was like, well, it could be a major injury. I don't know. And I left him off the draft board. And then we got clarity that he is back at practice and he's fine. And I just left him off the draft board, didn't put it back on. So great pick there. Love the Khalil Herbert selection there. I think that he is going to actually push more towards that standalone flex value because of the system that he's bringing in. Luke Getsy utilizing Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon alongside each other this year makes me really concerned for David Montgomery at his current ADP. And I think Herbert, I think that gap should be a lot closer in ADP than what it is currently. So Daniel Jones, Jamal Williams, Khalil Herbert, Rondale Moore, Jahan Dotson, Ian's all sleeper team here. He's got a tight end spot here. I will finish out the wide receiver position for me. I got both picks here back to back to end out my draft. Let's go George Pickens here. Pickens still just inside that threshold of outside the top 11 rounds there. When all these guys are healthy and on the field with Mitchell Trubisky, with Kenny Pickett, I don't know how everything's going to play out. I don't know what the target volume is going to be for George Pickens when you have Deontay Johnson, when you have Chase Claypool, when Najee Harris, Pat Freiermuth, when they're all on the field, but the talent level is too stupid to ignore, right? And I think that that's going to shine through. So George Pickens here, I think can push. He's a favorite target of mine later on in draft. I got him late in the 15th round of Scott Fishbowl. I holding on to him there. George Pickens, I think, is going to have a big year here if we get some clarity, if we get him taking over that wide receiver two role. George Pickens, first wide receiver spot for me. Then there's a lot of players that I could choose from here, man. I love some of these sleeper wide receivers. You got guys like KJ Osborne, Joshua Palmer, Alec Pierce, Nico Collins, KJ Hamler. These are all guys that are on my draft board here. I'm going to go even further down the board. Let me look up where this guy is going in it. 190 overall, wide receiver 68. So one wide receiver spot above Jahan Dotson. Let's go Isaiah McKenzie here, wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills. We got clarity here. All offseason, it had been Isaiah McKenzie's getting this, you know, slot receiver role. He's getting some hype here over Jamison Crowder and Khalil Shakir there. It looks like this could be Isaiah McKenzie's job, and we got clarity on that here in week two of the preseason when the starters were out there. Isaiah McKenzie was out there, right, with Stephon Diggs, with Gabe Davis. So Isaiah McKenzie here seems to have solidified that starting slot receiver role, and we've seen that role be very valuable for fantasy football in the past with guys like Cole Beasley, who bring next to nothing after the catch. Isaiah McKenzie can bring you a lot after the catch too. So get that speed, get that yards after the catch ability here in a high-powered offense. Isaiah McKenzie to round out my all-sleeper team. All right, you got one final selection here at the tight end position. Where are we going?
I saw, and I couldn't agree more. I think the McKenzie pick is fantastic. And he's another guy where I don't think he's on the rise, but not high enough. I'm still drafting where he's going. Cole Beasley, three straight seasons with over 100 targets. I saw someone on Twitter called Jamison Crowder vaccinated Cole Beasley. And I can't help but laugh about that every single time I think of the situation. But man, truly, like, just we kind of scoffed at the McKenzie contract, but then the Crowder contract wasn't anything either. So fair play to McKenzie for really winning that job. My tight end and final pick here is going to be Gerald Everett, Chargers tight end one. Donald Parham, low-key week-to-week with a hamstring injury. The updates have been pretty terrible. Got like a for sure out this week, and then he's still week-to-week afterwards. And Everett's someone that, even before that, you know, just someone that I've been targeting in these middle rounds of the drafts. I think if we're trying to find this year's version of, you know, the 2020 Robert Tonyan or a 2021 Dawson Knox, what tight end can just – make the most out of 70, 80 targets and flirt with 8 or 10 touchdowns anyway. I think Everett's right in there, man. He can look at other guys like Irv Smith, Tyler Higbee, Tonyan again, depending if he's healthy. Yep. Njoku to an extent, just a problem with Watson, obviously. But we're looking for a tight end with something close to an every down role in an offense with a great quarterback and environment that can just help them, you know, hit that top end touchdown ceiling. And I really think that Everett, man, has that in his range of outcomes. 2-year, $12 million deal, has $8 million fully guaranteed. Last year, Jared Cook was on a 1-year, $4.5 million deal, and he got 83 targets out of that, man. Like, I remember just really going through the tight end depth chart here, and last year they would use Cook, Parham, and even like Steven Anderson. I just like ignored it. And every week I go back and I'd be like, Cook got 8 targets again, man. I was just getting I was getting lucky because 35-year-old Jared Cook was pretty washed last season. But I don't think that's Gerald Everett, man. He actually came out last year when Russell Wilson came back to the end of the year. I believe he was a tight end 8 overall. A little bit of, you know, flukery going on there with the bye weeks and all that. But still someone that we saw put up some good games. Now, maybe the worst individual performance of the season. I forget who they were playing, but he had like the dropped interception.
Dropped in the end zone.
It was terrible. You know, that happened. So I had to bring bring it up. But otherwise, man, I do think Everett has been someone throughout his career pretty damn. Look, he took more money to go play with Justin freaking Herbert in Los Angeles. Like, I don't think that should be seen as an indictment on the guy. I'd probably make that same career decision. And otherwise, like, you know, he lost out to Tyler Higbee, who got a bunch of money from the Rams. And it's just, I think, a more all-around tight end. So some of these guys, and Hayden Hurst, someone we mentioned as well, like, yeah, Hayden Hurst on his third team. He couldn't beat out Mark Andrews or Kyle Pitts. Like,
right, I know.
Hey, too tough, man. Like, I don't really blame him. So,
yep.
Gerald Everett, I think, you know, amidst all these kind of just later round tight ends, obviously you don't want to start your squad with them. I like to get one of the Goddard, Knox, Ertz tier as my tight end one. But, man, I find myself, yeah, Gerald Everett, Hayden Hurst, and even Higbee specifically. Those are the guys, you know, when I really punt tight end and I'm just looking for some value later, I consistently come back to these names.
There are a lot of names there later on in draft set. I mean, even Cole Kmet at tight end 14 off the board, right? Yeah. It's like you have Cole Kmet there. Then you got Irv Smith at tight end 17. You get further down the board, there are a ton of tight ends that if you want to completely punt that position in your final two rounds of your draft, throw darts at two of them, right? And just see if one of them hits. I think there's opportunity. Buy into the ones in good offenses, though. So that's why Gerald Everett is definitely one name to monitor there. And then Hayden Hurst as well. You know, you're looking at prolific offenses there with the Chargers, with the Bengals. All right.
Just don't force it, right? Like, don't force it. Right. I think that's the story here. Like, if there's a – I was doing a FFPC draft with Dwayne McFarland last week, and it is tight end premium, and we got a little bit with the tight ends flying off the board. But once you start seeing, like, people just drafting tight ends rounds ahead of ADP because they're just scared about it, like, don't do that, man. You can always find appropriate value later in the draft at pretty much every position, at least through, like, rounds 11 or 12. So I think that's a big story here where, yeah, maybe your best strategy is to get Everett and one of these guys later. Just make sure that, again, like, don't be reacting too heavily to what's going on with your draft, because you have these opportunities later.
All right, let me run through these rosters here. Ian, you ended up with Daniel Jones, Jamal Williams, Khalil Herbert, Rondale Moore, Jahan Dotson, and Gerald Everett for your all-sleeper team. I ended up with Justin Fields at the quarterback position, then Brian Robinson, Isaiah Pacheco, George Pickens, Isaiah McKenzie, and David Njoku. This was a ton of fun, man. Ian, thank you so much for carving out some time, jumping onto the podcast. Why don't you let everyone know what you got going on over at PFF and where they can find and follow more of you and your work?
Great, Debbie. Great, Kyle. Appreciate you having me. PFF Fantasy Football Podcast, myself, Dwayne McFarland. Usually about 5 to 7 episodes out per week these days, really getting you guys ready for the season. PFF.com, you know, just, you know, grinding the articles at this point. It's been a long, 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 what, 6-7 months without regular season football being played, but still, you know, just trying to get you guys ready. We actually have a new PFF Plus draft guide tool out there, really just trying to help almost – If you guys want to just use our rankings and have us draft for you, this is the closest thing we have to that at the moment. So analysis from myself, Dwayne, Nathan Yonke, and Kevin Cole. Check it out. Get a full week free. Why not? You know, got the drafts coming up this weekend. I wish everyone the best of luck in their drafts. Let's go win some championships this year.
Let's win some championships. Ian, this was a ton of fun, man. Greatly appreciate the opportunity to finally get onto a podcast together. It was a ton of fun. All right, remember that you can win a Dak Prescott signed Cowboys jersey courtesy of Pristine Auction. Go over to the ffplaybook.com/giveaway for all the details on how you can get entered into that giveaway. Again, for a Dak Prescott signed Cowboys jersey courtesy of Pristine Auction. All right, that'll do it. For Ian Harditz, I'm Kyle Yates, and we'll see you next time.